up to the laws of Hilchos HaVetorah Simen Ayin Reish Ois Yud Aleph. Okay, we're up to Ois Yud Aleph. We discussed all these very interesting things yesterday. Question of what's the purpose? Let's recap. We had a nice discussion of are women chayiv in writing a Sefer Torah? And what was the maskana? The maskana is yes. Yes, absolutely. A woman has the same obligation as a man. The same way a man has mechuyif to go write a Sefer Torah or commission a Sefer Torah to be written, so too a woman has the same exact thing. That was the maskana. What else did we learn? We learned that what's the purpose of writing a Sefer Torah? So the machlokes. Some say the purpose is to learn. And some say the purpose is no, it's an independent mitzvah, nothing to do with learning whatsoever. L'may nafkamina? Can you mekayim the mitzvah by buying a printed chumash and a masechta, a gemara? If you learn the tafkid is only to learn, then you don't need to write a sefer Torah anymore b'zman hazeh. It's enough to buy printed svarim. If you learn that it's an independent mitzvah, even if you have in your possession many svarim, you still have a mitzvah to go and purchase or to write a real sefer Torah.
If you're out to write it.
What?
If you can't
write it, it requires a lot of so you can't necessarily write it. So you have to make a seif. You have to go and make someone a shliach. You hire a shliach. To write the Sefer Torah on your behalf.
Those are some. She's not allowed to write.
A woman is not allowed to write. That's Sefer Halacha. A woman can only be mekayim the mitzvah by making someone a shliach, hiring someone, making someone a shliach, or by purchasing it, but she cannot write. But a man, if he can, he can write.
If
I know
she writes, what happens?
What?
If she writes,
I don't know the answer. I'm not sure. No, it could be it's kasha b'diavad. It could be that it's kasha b'diavad. I vaguely remember the B'diavad it's kasha. We don't do it, but it's not the end of the world.
They had an article within the last few years, a conservative rabbi woman who wrote a sacred Torah.
Yeah.
To be a cipher. And so there was a discussion about it.
But it's not conservative, it's like a min. Even if she would have been a man, it would have been possible.
We were just talking about this. This was not a Jewish written article. This was in the
Talmud. Right.
Isn't it shliach?
No, a woman is not allowed to Megillah either. It's the same thing. All right, I don't know.
Give you Megillah.
Shliach.
Yes, a shliach. You make a shliach, she appoints a shliach to do it on her behalf. So she purchases it. So she wrote it, so you don't need her to write, you just need her to acquire. That's what he says, he writes, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, a woman has the same chiv as a man. That's what he comes to Maskana. So she can write it, but she has an obligation to hire someone to do it for her. It's not mamish shluch kum kumayzer. Okay, and then...
That kind of
safety, I don't know the answer. I believe, I vaguely remember in my head is that it's kosher bidi evet. Lechatchila, a woman is not supposed to write anything. Bidi evet, if she does write, it's okay. That's what I vaguely remember in my mind. It could be it's wrong. It's a different simon. Maybe we'll come to it at some point, but it's not in this simon. Okay, then we also learned yesterday this very interesting topic. He had just a discussion what it means in Chazal that if a person has Birusha, a Sefer Torah, it's not enough. You still have to write for yourself your own Sefer Torah. And we discussed, is there a Chiv? If you have a Birusha, is there a Chiv? Is it getting extra reward? Having this dilemma. He also mentioned that a Melech has a mitzvah of two Sefer Torah. He has a Sefer Torah that he has to write L'shem as a private citizen, and then as a din of a melech, which he carries around with him at all times, he has to write for himself another Sefer Torah. Ois Yud Aleph. Yesh me'agadolim shenestapku im shnayim yoytzim yidei choyvasim kishekoysvim Sefer Torah b'shutfis. Can you two people join together? We'll chip in. I'll give $25,000 and you'll give $25,000. We'll mekayim the mitzvah. You mekayim the mitzvah in such a fashion. You have to pay for the entire Sefer Torah yourself. Because every single mitzvah, the default is you must do the mitzvah yourself, not b'shutfis. The only time we allow two people to be mekayim a mitzvah together is only we have an explicit gezeres hakasef. Kol Yisrael, what's the positive by Kab Sukkah? It says, Kol Yisrael Yeshu Basukos. Chazal Dar since it says Kol Yisrael Kol Ezrach Yeshu Basukos. From here we learn that the entire Kol Yisrael they consider one sukkah. So there you have a special Gzeres HaKosov that two people can share one mitzvah. But where you do not have a special Gzeres HaKosov, by default the halacha demands that every person do the mitzvah themselves. And that means, if you have a mitzvah writing a Sefer Torah, you cannot share that mitzvah with someone else. You must do it yourself. Well, there's nafkamina. There are some very wealthy people who commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, and then they make a very elaborate Hachnosa Sefer Torah. So that Hachnas Sefer Torah, when the people come and they invite them to come and put some ink on the ink at the very end, they're not doing it for themselves. They're all acting as the agent of the one who is being mekayim the mitzvah. When you have a shul, let's say you have a situation where a shul they have a need to acquire a sefer to have a new shul, and they don't have any sefer Torah. All the sefer Torah they have are on loan. And now they want to have their own Sefer Torah, so they make a campaign and they sell a parsha. You've all seen this. They sell parshas, they sell different sections. So in those situations, there is no one that has been mekayim the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. So therefore, when you have the celebration, the very good, everyone comes. They put some ink in the Sefer Torah. It's a very nice thing to do, but no one is getting credit for writing the Sefer Torah. Yeah.
There's no
shtickle
mitzvah there.
There's an inyan. You're connecting everyone. You're connecting yourself to a Sefer Torah. Chazal said there are 600,000 letters. There are 600,000 neshamas in Klal Yisrael. Every letter of the Sefer Torah corresponds to a neshama. When you write it in the Sefer Torah, so they give you the letter that's the letter of your name. If your name is Moshe, so they give you a letter Mem.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a nice inyan, but are you being mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of ksiva Sefer Torah? Absolutely not. It's an inyan. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. You have a little hana. You're connecting yourself.
You're not going to have any other chance in your life, let's say, to
right. So you have a chelik in the Sefer Torah. You put a dot. You put a little bit of ink in the Sefer Torah. You have a connection to the Sefer Torah. But to say that you were mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of yatok kis lechem es ashur azos, absolutely not. And if you have a community that together has a project to commission a Sefer Torah, and everyone writes a little dot in the Sefer Torah, or you give $1,000, you give $500, you buy a parashah, you buy a pasuk, you buy everyone, you know how it goes, you buy all things, that you're not being, it's a very nice thing, but you're not being mekayim the mitzvah bishlemuso in its entirety.
To expect someone to spend $50,000.
Well, that's today, because today it costs $50,000. Yeah. Time of Chazal didn't cost $50,000. Time of Chazal, people, they did it themselves. They wrote it. I don't know exactly how it was done. It's interesting. I don't know how exactly they did.
It cost a lot of money.
What?
In any time, it had to be a lot of
money. It didn't cost anywhere near what it costs today. Parchment didn't cost. You know, the parchment in the Sefer Torah alone today cost a few $1,000. Parchment is very expensive. It's very expensive, the parchment. On a Megillah, you know how much the parchment costs for a Megillah? At least $300-$400. Parchment. I'm not talking about the time for the sefer to write it, and then his skill, he can fetch a nice amount of money for his beautiful ksaf. A nice megillah today can cost easily $2,000.
Right.
From and then and
not
a cheap,
so nice megillah.
What a not so nice megillah
cost $2,000.
Really? So times have changed. Years ago, you can get something really fantastic for $1,500. You get something out of this world. Even they go back. You know, over time, inflation is just outrageous. The price is outrageous. But let's say you have a low-end Megillah, a beginner, who just writes a Megillah. So what are they going to get? They'll get for that $700, $500. You know how much the parchment costs? The parchment costs $400. Okay, and then all of his instruments, you know, he buys the, you know, that doesn't cost so much to buy the feathers.
I don't know. People were illiterate. They didn't know even how to read.
It's different.
No, some did know, some did not know. Some knew how to read, some did not know how to read. So it's a very good question. How can you expect the average person? Right, Mr. Marill is asking a very good question. How can the Torah expect the average person in the kind of the midst of Yatah Kitzvah Lechem when it's a major, major undertaking? I don't know the answer. I know there's a site over here at Pincus. You know, he owns the store on Coney Island Avenue.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic place. I only place I would have my tool in check is by him.
Right.
Why? It's expensive. They charge more than everywhere else.
Yeah.
But they do a professional job.
Yes.
You give it to them. They give you a tag.
Yes.
They tell you when it'll be ready. And they have a team. You go, it's very impressive. You go upstairs. They have a team a team of seifrim working together. Each one is machazek the next. If you go and you give it to a seifer who works in the basement, you know, when you're all alone, no one's watching you, and everything is all smished, everything gets lost. It's not when you have when it's done professionally. You have five people sitting together, 9 to 5. It's a business. It's a business. And everything is done. This guy does the bathroom. This guy opens up. This guy does the checking. And this guy does the computer. And it's done in a professional way. It's very satisfying. You feel that you're getting something for your money, even though you're paying maybe a lot more than you can get.
There's another place that does that in Crown Heights.
In Crown Heights.
I think it's called a Snafu or whatever.
Okay. It's very good.
Real estate.
And you know, I don't know about now, but you know, years ago, it's very unique. It's one of the only places where you can get everything done in the same day. You bring it in the morning. They will check it. And they will even seal it. The batimachin, when they open up your tefillin, they really butcher it up. They cut it open, they butcher it up, and they ruin it. You need to go to a batimachin where they sand it and where they seal it. And even in Eretz Yisrael, I was told that it's very, very hard to find a place where they will check it and you can get it sealed. You can have the batim repaired, sanded, and sealed bo bayom. Here in Pincus, he has a batimacha that works there full time. They have a full time person working, repairing batim. So the sofer checks it, and bo bayom, after he checks it, he puts it in, and the batimacha, he seals it and fixes it up. That's very unique. But in any event, I meet him every so often, so I'm friendly with him. And I haven't really seen him around that much lately, but I remember I once asked him, did you ever write? He doesn't write that much anymore. He's in business. You know, he does. He goes all over the country. He has a fantastic business. It's a heart. He goes all over the country to organize for shuls and communities, fundraising events where they write a Sefer Torah, where they do a Haschalah, and then they finish off the Sefer Torah. So he told me that he does not have much time to write. He hardly writes anymore, but he is in the process of writing a Sefer Torah. So he says he wants him to kind of the midst of Yatah Kisvu Lechem. The last I saw him, he told me he's up to Parshas Matos. Every so often, when he has some time, he sits down and he writes a few lines here and there. And over many years, he plans for himself, to Mekayim the midst of Yatah Kisvu Lechem. He's up to Parshas Matos, and hopefully he'll finish the Sefer Torah and Mekayim the midst. So this is a really fascinating question. How does the Torah expect the average person to Mekayim this mitzvah?
Yeah.
It's such a major undertaking. And even to buy the Sefer Torah, who has $50,000 just to throw around like that to go buy a Sefer, not the average person? So I don't know the answer. So here he has a very interesting question. Why can't we have a shutfus? Let 50 people get together, everyone will give $1,000, and together they will all have the chelik of the mitzvah. So he said that's not possible, because since the Torah gives the mitzvah to the individual, and by default, a mitzvah given to an individual cannot be done b'shutfis, unless we have a special gezeres hakasav, a special drasha, which we do not have by a Sefer Torah. So therefore, there is no way to mekayim the mitzvah unless you do it yourself. And the nafka mina is, and I've seen this, is that when you do have very wealthy people who do want to be mekayim the mitzvah, and then they make a ceremony at the very end, and they invite their friends and the community to come and to put ink in the very last letters. They tell them that you are only acting as the agent of the one who has paid for the Sefer Torah. It is his mitzvah. Every single letter in the Sefer Torah is his. It's his. He's not giving away even one letter, because if he gives away even one letter, then it's a b'shutfis. If it's b'shutfis, if he's not the kind of mitzvah, b'shutfis muso. However, he will allow you to be his agent. You can be the agent of the one who has paid for the Sefer Torah to be a shliach.
He's the same like the Sefer.
Right, exactly. Just like the Sefer is the shliach, so you also can be a shliach, but what you are doing will be connected to me, who is paying for the Sefer Torah, because I want to be Mekayim the mitzvah the way it should be done.
So when they sell the letters, it's no good then?
Sell the letters to be the zechus, to be the shliach. It's just a zechus to be the shliach, not to take away from. I'm not giving you that letter. It's not your letter.
The Rambam says it can be mekayim me. I just looked up the pasuk over here, and he just says on the bottom, the sages derive from this verse that every Jew is commanded to write a Sefer Torah scroll, a commandment that can be fulfilled by writing a single letter.
A single letter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what
we learned. Right. We learned that yesterday. If you magia. If you buy a sefer that's possible, it's your sefer Torah, and you fix one letter, you mekayim the mitzvah. But l'chatchila, to set out and to do this b'shutfus, he says, this is not proper.
All the ices that you write today, you're not writing the ice, you're filling it.
You're filling it, it's already kosher.
If they use that technique, if you have, let's say, someone who is not, you're not sure about his...
Shema Shabbos.
So what you do after it dries, he just goes over the ices. He goes over the last...
Right, he goes over, so he fills it in. It's already kosher.
The was there already.
Right, it's already kosher. I told you the story, having Chaim Bulin. Right. I told you that the surfer outlines. And there was a balabas who had in his home a sefer Torah he purchased. I don't know, whatever reason he had a sefer Torah. And he said he's giving it to the yeshiva. And they should make a chanasa sefer Torah. So they asked him, do we need to fill in the letters? So he says, no, it's already done. The sefer Torah is already finished sitting in my house. I don't want it to be in my house. I'm nervous having sefer Torah in my house. I'm giving it to the yeshiva. It's brand new. It's done. There's nothing more to do. Let's just, so they had at lunch. They went, they took the sefer Torah, they danced from the high school to the Beis Medrash, they had a seudah, it was very nice, very beautiful, and then they began to use sefer Torah for the next 2 years. And then it came Parshas Hazinu, and they were laying from the sefer Torah, and the Baal Kriya noticed in the corner of his eyes, something does not look right in the next column. It was Parshas Hazinu, I was there, I'm an eyewitness to this. I was there, it was Parshas Hazinu, and he was laying, and he saw from the corner of his eyes, something does not look right, and he looked, and he was horrified to see that the last five, six lines...
It ain't called Yisrael, was very visible.
The last six lines were outlined, as we see when we go to Achnasa Sefer Torah, and no one ever filled in the ink in the outline. And they were leaning from this Sefer Torah for already at least a year. So that was the question. They called up Rabbi Farkas. Rabbi Farkas is a very big Pesach. Okay? Rabbi Moshe Farkas. Rabbi Moshe Farkas is a very, very big Talmud, very big Pesach. So they called, so I guess the Rosh Yeshiva said to call him up to Paskin. He comes, he looks, he goes through the whole thing, and he says, to the shock of everyone there, kosher. Sefer Torah is kosher. Because in shiur lo'oyvei ha'oysir, since it has been outlined, the outline is already there, and all it needed to be filled in, kosher ain't shiur lo'oyvei ha'oysir, so he passed him kosher, and they finished laning, and the next day, you can bet your bottom bucks that the first thing in the morning it was taken away, and they filled in the Sefer Torah. So there was a fellow there who told the story to Rybelsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Gabbai Sheni. He's the Gabbai Sheni. He's a Talmud in Torah Das. He learns Chaim Bulin in Torah Das. And he told Rybelsky. Rybelsky was horrified at the story. And he says, I agree with the Psak Halacha. I have no doubt that in Echnami, the Psak Halacha, in my opinion, is correct. Ein shi'ur lo'ovi ha'itziyos. But you should know, I go to these ceremonies pretty often, and I do know that the meaning of the soy for me is the lamet, the very, very last lamet, le'enei kol Yisrael, they do not connect the top of the lamet to the bottom of the lamet, so that it should be not kosher. So that the one who puts that very last dot at the very, very end indeed is making the Sefer Torah, machshir the Sefer Torah for the very, very first time. And you can mechabit the Rav, you mechabit whoever you mechabit. So he says, Mr. Rybelsky said, 99% of the time, the top of the lamed is not connected to the bottom. Sometimes it is. But 99% of the time, it's not. So therefore, I was wondering if the Pesach, of course he knows, but did he know to look very carefully at the lamed at the very, very end, if it was connected or not? So maybe, you assume. But that's a very... So that goes to prove your point. What?
You could ask them anyway.
Whatever it was. It was too late. Masha hoya, kvar hoya. What was.
Yeah.
So already, but in Echlam, what you're saying is correct, so it's really kosher the way it is. After they make the outline, ruba, it's already kosher. Okay, let's go further. So over here, he writes over here, we're up to the third line, we call mitzvah seisha, tzivsa, toira, hi, al, again, ois yud aleph, page 137, ois yud aleph, call the third line, mitzvah seisha, tzivsa, toira, hi, al, kol echad, mi yisrael, levadav, v'chol mitzvah, sha, toira, hirsha, b'shutvis. Any mitzvah which the Torah permitted one to do it in partnership, kimo, for example, leishev shnayim b'sukkah, achas, two people to sit in one sukkah, we have for that a special gezeres akosiv yesh al zeh derasha b'sukkah ayin sham. The yod, another example, dibelulov ksivit says lochem. V'tzach kol echad levadu liyos lo lulav v'esher k'mash shekasav reish perak lulav ha'gozel. V'hochi nami, it says in the midst of Kesiva Sefer Torah, v'ata, kislu lochem. It's the same word. Just like by lulav we derive that every person must have their own lulav, so too when it comes to Sefer Torah we learn everyone must have their own Sefer Torah. Kislu lochem. V'tzach kol echad levadu v'od raya, third proof, mehach, this Sanhedrin, Sheviu Shemaksha al Rabba, Mi Mishnah, from the Mishnah, the Melech Kaisiv Lois Sevator Lishmo, or Mibrais Ayin Sham, Vim Neumar, the Hedid Yotze, Bishel Shutvis, Lema, the Zerua Hefresh Ben Melech Lehedia. The Gemara there asks the question, what is the difference between a king and an ordinary person? The Gemara concludes there is no difference. The only difference is two Sefer Torah. An ordinary person only needs to write one Sefer Torah, and a king needs to write two Sefer Torah. One Midin Hedyot, and one Midin Melech. Why couldn't the Gemara give a much more fundamental answer? That the Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah of an ordinary person can be written b'shutfis, whereas the Sefer Torah of the Melech has to be written alone. So the fact that the Gemara did not give that answer indicates that even the Sefer Torah of a private person must be written privately, may not be done b'shutvis. The Melech and the Yotze b'shul shutvis, the Hedyin Yotze v'Yotze. Fourth proof, for Od Raya, me echad me hagadolim ha-koidmim, she-kosav, doesn't say who this is, the ha-koisev Sefer Torah, u-mois shul b'sakneses, she-tia shul hekdish b'sakneses, lo yotze yidei-choy v'asai. If a person writes a Sefer Torah and donates it with the intent that it will be donated to the Beis HaKnesses, he is not yoytzei the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. To be yoytzei the mitzvah, you must retain ownership. Okay, you had a lot of shuls, they have contracts. When a person gives their Sefer Torah to the shul, it's very typical for the person to hire a lawyer and to write a contract, the terms and the conditions, and to make it clear that the Sefer Torah is privately owned, and that is necessary in order to be mekayim, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa. The Sefer Torah, the yoytzei b'shutfis lama lo yotza v'salkadaitach. The yoytzei b'shutfis lama lo yotza yidechay v'asacha gam lo yesh chelik. If I write a sefer and donate it to the shul, I'm also a partner. I'm also a partner in this mitzvah, so I should be yoytzei. So therefore, the fact that you're not yoytzei indicates that if you give away b'shutvus, you give away your ownership of the Sefer Torah, you're not yoytzei. Raya number five.
Well, you have to own it, but you have to own it permanently?
You have to, seemingly, yeah. Seemingly, you have to own it permanently.
So you're not allowed to give it to the shul, but you can put out a permanent loan.
Right.
Yes, correct. A permanent loan. But you always have the right, whenever you so wish, to take it back. So therefore, you retain ownership. The Od Raya, proof number five. The ha afilu b'shel avoysav lo yatsa sha'atohu kula shaloi. Kol shekein b'shutvis. We learned that if you yarsh and if you inherit the Sefer Torah, you do not fulfill your obligation. So if you don't fulfill your obligation by inheriting, he wants to suggest certainly you can make a kal v'chomer kol shekein b'shutvis. If a Yerusha is not good enough, even though Yerusha is yours, al achas kama v'kama, if it's not yours, it's a partnership. So he went over here to five different sources, five different reasons why l'chatchila you have to write the Sefer Torah all by yourself. Let's review. Every mitzvah in the Torah demands that you do it by yourself. Number two, it says the word lochem. Number three, we have a difference between, we do not use this as a difference between a private person and a melech. Number four, we find that if you give your Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesses, that's lo yotza. Number five, if you have birusha, it lo yotza. Kol shken b'shutfis lo yotza. Five solid reasons why a person must write a Sefer Torah all by himself. However, v'hine, and indeed that's what the Rambam says. However, he wants to point out, who ach lefi das harash v'atur, we learned this yesterday, that according to these two opinions, that the tafkid of writing the Sefer Torah is to learn. Maybe then you can suggest that if you have a partnership, you yoytzei, because together they're going to learn. They can both learn. They can learn from the Sefer Torah together. Even though that may be a conclusion from the Torah and the Rosh, we do not pass like that l'chatchila. We follow the Rambam and the five reasons mentioned above, that the lo yotze b'shutfis the zeh shederecha olam shechavura achas kosim Sefer Torah hu mitzvah v'zuchus ba'alma. This that we find many Sbati Kinyosios, Sbati Midrashos, they have a fundraising campaign to write a Sefer Torah b'shutvis. It's a very nice thing. The shul needs a Sefer Torah. You have no way, there's no other way to do it. No one's going to give $50,000 a private Sefer Torah, so then you have no choice but to go come together b'shutvis. But in that situation, no one is mekayim the mitzvah b'shlemuso. Shechavura achas kreis b'sefer Torah v'hu mitzvah v'zuchus b'alma aval lo shebeze yotzu yidechay b'se mitzvah. Do not make a mistake, I think you can mekayim the mitzvah. Osi beis. What happens if a person writes a Sefer Torah and it gets lost or a nignava, it's stolen? So then you have to start all over again. Part of the mitzvah is you have to maintain ownership. The chayev lichtoiv acheres, you have to do it all over again. But many disagree. That's not so simple. Like you said, Mr. Miller, listen, give it away to the tzibor. Wow, that's a chiddush. Some say is if you have it, your ownership in for 1 minute. That would mean that you can actually write a Sefer Torah, and then after I'm a kayim the mitzvah, and now I can give it away to the Beis HaKnesses. That would be a very big chiddush. That's what he says.
The mitzvah will be taken away.
It's not exactly the question. Do you need to maintain the mitzvah? Lulav and Esrog. That's it. Once you're mekayim the mitzvah, I have to maintain ownership of Lulav and Esrog? No, I can give it away. I took a shuk Lulav and Esrog. That's it. I'm done. You can have it. It's yours for keeps. I don't need it anymore. I'm done. I'm finished. I say Fitari suggesting it's not the way it works. You have a mitzvah to write it and to keep it. Keep it for the rest of your life. And if at some point in your life you no longer have it in your possession, you have to do it all over again. Not everyone agrees to that. Lamai nafkamina, if you don't have to have any possession for the rest of your life, you write it once. I'm going to commission the writing of the Sefer Torah. I was hereby mekayim the mitzvah. What am I going to do with the Sefer Torah? I don't want to keep it in the house. Too nervous. I'll give it to the shul. They can keep it. They can keep it forever. So according to that the second approach, in a chanami, you can give it away forever. So in a chanami, you can give it away. But
give it to the shul and you say, I'm giving it to a gift.
I'm giving it a matana. You have to give it back to me. A matana, a manas lahakhtir. That's really what a loan is. That's really what a loan is. What do you do when you're giving them a loan? I'm giving a permanent loan.
You have to spell it out.
Well, the shul doesn't need to ownership. When it comes to Lulav and Esrog, you're not mekayim the mitzvah unless you own it. So then you have no choice but to make a matana, a mamash matana al manas lahakhtir. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, nowhere do we find the shul has to own the Sefer Torah. It is sufficient for the shul to borrow a Sefer Torah. So you don't need to come on to the principle of matana al manas lahakhtir. Only by Lulav and Esrog you need to come on to that principle. But in Echanami, this is the nafkamina. The afil of the Yotzah, now, the Lindira, the Zetoligam Kain, Deosh Be'arnu, this he wants to suggest that this halal, this question, do you need to maintain it forever, or can you just to have the mekayim the mitzvah for one moment and give it away? Depends on the machlekes between the Rambam and the Rosh Natur. According to the Rambam that says that it's a mitzvah bifnei atzmoi, then he seems to say you can give it away. You can mamish. I did it. I was the kind of the mitzvah. I shook lulav and esrog. I wrote a sefer Torah. I'm done. Take it. Aval leharosh, but according to the Rosh and the Tur, who learned that the mitzvah is Talmud Torah, it's a chumrah. The result is a chumrah. I always must be able to learn Torah. If I give away my sefer Torah to someone else, it's not a my rishus. I can't learn from it whenever I want.
I thought the Rosh held before that you have today.
Svarim chumashim einachnami.
So they didn't learn.
Einachnami. So let's say I would be mekayim the mitzvah by buying a shas. Let's say, according to the Rosh, I'm mekayim the mitzvah of a ksivas sefer Torah by buying a printed shas, and now I give it away. I give it away to my neighbor. You could have it. I don't have time to learn. You could have it. What? But if you give it away, so at this moment in time, I can't learn from it. It's locked up in someone else's house. So then my mitzvah has come to an end. It always must be available. According to the Rosh, the object that I'm going to use to learn from must always be available. That's what the chumr. That is a chumr that even though we generally comes out that the Rosh and the Rambam, the Rosh and the Tur are more makel than the Rambam, because according to the Rosh and the Tur, the purpose is Talmud Torah, and the major nafkamin is you don't need to write a Sefer Torah. You can be mekayim the mitzvah by buying a chumash, buying a gemara, but there's a chumrah, and the chumrah is the chumash and the gemara must be available 24/7.
According to
according to the Rosh, now that you have combinations, the guy has to know the combination. If not, he can't get in there to learn.
You can't get in to learn, exactly. Aval harosh deikra hamitzahim b'nei halimud b'vada lo yotza deheach yilmoid ba v'inen b'itzlo, it's not in your possession. L'fi zeh, l'harosh deikra hamitzahim hachumashim u'mishna u'gumara im kosvam o'ikonon v'nignivu, they were stolen imenu o'imoshon l'rabim chayiv lignoi sacherim. So we have over here a yisoidei stig machlekes between the Rambam and the Rosh, and over here is the first time that it comes a chumra lefi the Rosh, that you always must have it in your possession, you always have the opportunity to learn from the Sefer Torah. Next, Yud Gimel. Yesh v'nagdelim shekos sheyochel liyosh sha'ata b'zman hazeh, there's no mitzvah. Because b'zman hazeh, we really do not know how, we're not experts in the molei v'chaser. Piturim mitzvah zoom yishum de anan lebikim de chaseros yiseros kinamim bekedushin.
Well, it doesn't mean we're potter. It means we don't know how to be mekayim. Oh,
so we don't know to be mekayim. We're not potter. We don't know to be mekayim because there's no. We're not experts. And therefore, v'rak midrabanan chayavim. We only chay bezman azem midrabanan. Some want to make this suggestion. The Aruch HaShulchan says vanitama me'oid al zeh. I'm shocked to hear such a suggestion. Sh'arambam v'chol apoyskim heviu din zeh ata shehu din Torah. The Rambam and all the posts can bring this down halacha l'maisa. They make no mention of this exception. V'odim came yichon luftar mikam mitzvah sheyesh b'ram mekifos rabbis k'may b'sfekos rabbis k'may b'mitzvah tefillin uchayitz b'zeh. Okay, is it like Rash, like Rabbeinu Tam? Is it this? Is it that? This or molde v'chasar. In the parashos of the tefillin, there's also different questions of how to spell different words in the tefillin. Is it molei v'chaser? You never heard such a thing to say that you can be potter from tefillin because we don't know how today to write tefillin. V'hachinami hari nischabru sforim rabim al meseres v'chaser v'yeser ukri v'chsev v'achere rabim lahatois. The bottom line is there are many experts and there's been many studies and we go follow the majority. We follow the majority. This was Rabbi Breuer. What was his first name? Mordechai Breuer. Mordechai Breuer was a very big into this. The idea is you follow the majority. We have today a number of authentic chumashim and svarim and megillos. And basically, we have a principle: is acharei rabim lahatos. We follow the majority. I think the koyrein chumish is based upon such a analysis. We take the best that we have today, and anytime you have a suffix, is it molei v'chaser? We follow the majority. We have today 5, 10, let's say, chumashim, which we know are in existence from 1,000 years, and they were used by Gedolei Yisrael. These are recognized as being the most authentic chumash that we have available. So let's look at how the spelling, and whatever the majority is, that's what we're going to follow. And that's the halacha. That becomes the halacha, and you can't go tell me that since it's molei v'chaser, we don't bekiyim. You don't have to write a sefer Torah. V'yod re'isi beruda raya beruda mehod the parach b'choyres l'man d'sirule de'iav shel tzamseim b'yidei adam eich tziva Hashem la'asos oron v'kelin b'midah kach v'kach v'iav shel tzamseim u'metame etaretz rachmano omar ovid uvechol d'matzis l'nevad nechalei ayin sham. Do the best that you can. The Torah says two and a half amos, you do the best that you can. Even though we know scientifically, under a microscope, it's not going to be exact. You don't have to go look at under a microscope. You do the best you can possibly do. And that is enough. That's a very big shaila, b'zman hazeh. This very big, I think it's in the Machlach HaPoskim. What happens b'zman hazeh on Shabbos if you find there's an extra vav, like your case, or your son. Okay, ad ki yavo shiloi, molei v'chaser, missing a vav. Okay, you're missing a vav. Do you take out a new Sefer Torah on Shabbos if you find an extra vav, or you are missing a vav, extra yud, or missing yud? So it's not so simple. Some poskim say they take it at face value, but since b'zman hazeh we are not experts, a molei v'chaser, you do not take out a new Sefer Torah if you find such a mistake on Shabbos when the Sefer Torah is on the bima. Other poskim disagree. And they are of the opinion that even though in theory, in concept, we're not b'zman hazeh baki b'molei v'chaser, since today we already have a standard, we have a tikkun soifrim, Okay, we have a standard, what is acceptable. If you are landing on Shabbos and there's a missing Vav, or is an extra Vav, a missing an extra Yud, that's it. The Sefer Torah on our standards is puzzle. And you indeed do take out a Sefer. I once saw this halacha l'maaseh, I saw this disagreement in the Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah was missing a Vav, and there was a young rabbi who was this was in a high school, and it was Shabbos, and everyone came to learn, and they hired like a young Kohelite to be the mashkiach to make sure the boys don't kill each other. They behave themselves, so to answer some questions, and they daven mincha, and they found in the Sefer Torah mincha mali v'chaser. So this young fellow, he paskind, will not be keen bisman hazeh in mali v'chaser. You did not take another Sefer Torah.
Morris says, so you have
right. And then it was right. You don't take that. That's exactly what it says.
Except and, in Philon, he says we are bikim
in Philon. That's right. What he says. Okay. And then it was the next day, and the shmur went out is that the menahel was very upset that this young man, he made a mistake, that even though in a chenami halachal in a chenal chazal say we're not baki mother v'chaser, but today we have a standard. It's been standardized. We follow like exactly what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And we have a tikkun soifrim. We've already made an analysis. And according to the way we have it today, this word has a vav. This does not have a vav. That's how it is. In the mail, if you find this in the Torah, b'zman hazeh that's missing a vav or extra vav, you're not good, whatever it is. And in the tikkun soifrim, there is no vav, or there is a vav, and you don't have a mincha shai telling you that there's another girsa that maybe says, and there's no other reason. No. You take out a new sefer Torah. So this is a touchy topic. And Aruch HaShulchan say, halacha l'maisa, we are baki, we are pretty much bikim, and in Melo, we have an obligation today to write, it's not an excuse not to write a Sefer Torah. Ois Yudal, also limkar Sefer Torah, afilu yeshul Sefer Torah Acheres, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Even if another Sefer Torah, mishum v'zoyin hu la Sefer Torah, v'chein shunar chacham v'megillah, hatan rabban lo yim ka'odem Sefer Torah, v'afil pish yish she'in tzarech loy, yeser al kein afilu ein loy ma yoychal. You don't know what to eat. Umachar Sefer Torah ein roya simin bracha le'olam. Ve'ein hakavana shemutal berov. Doesn't mean that you are starving to death. We're not discussing pikuach nefesh. We're talking about we don't have dessert. Sharei ein l'chadav ha'im ben pikuach nefesh. Elo da'akavana shayde atchak v'yichalosoy litol mi'atztaka v'agaboy me'ein v'yichalosam lo'im ha'aloy m'chor ha'Sefer Torah sharei afilu k'lei beso v'ashmishov ein maskigin l'oysa limko. What it means over here is a person doesn't have what to eat, but it'll go to the Gabbai Tzedakah. He can go to the Gabbai Tzedakah and ask him for a handout. And the Gabbai Tzedakah will give him. And the Gabbai Tzedakah does not have a right to say to the fellow, we're not going to give you any food. Sell your Sefer Torah. Because just like we don't tell him, go on, you go sell your chair and your table and your bed and sleep on the floor, the same way the Gabbai Tzedakah would not tell him to do that. The Gabbai Tzedakah has no right to tell him to go sell Sefer Torah. Certainly, if you don't need to go to the Gabbai Tzedakah, so instead of having a gourmet meal, you'll have a not a gourmet meal. It'll be just as good. Certainly, you have no right to sell the Sefer Torah. Period. The da. The Av Shalosh and Hashas who rat the inner roya simin bracha mikol makom me'apoyskim bavur the isur namika. The Gemara says if you do so, you violate this halacha. You're not going to see bracha, but that has a connotation that technically speaking you can do it. It's not correct. It's forbidden. It's an isra. Ois tes vav ve'afilu limkar Sefer Torah yoshan v'lignos chadosh asur. You have a shul. They have old Sefer Torah. We'll swap. We'll trade them all in. Will trade in all of the old Sefer Torah for one new, brand new Sefer Torah that is forbidden. If you're going to sell it, who knows, you'll sell it. You'll never buy a new Sefer Torah, and the new one will never arrive. The Shema lo yikne achadosh lufizeh will be the nafkamina. If you get the new one first, the new one arrives before you take away the old Sefer Torah, it'll be mutter. Yikne achadosh lufizeh im achadosh muchan bebayi, beis ha-sefer, ve'eino chaser ila nesinas tamim, mutter. That'll be nafkamina. If you already have the new Sefer Torah, before you give all the other ones, it'll be okay. V'yeish chalkim, some say no, the gamachai gavna also came in the ein ze ilu la Sefer Torah, hanim keres. It's not, you're not elevating the Sefer Torah that's being sold. V'kol shekein ilu yosu, v'kol shekein ilu yosu, k'masha kosa, v'archayim sim reish kofn gimel, v'ein raya misham, the misham gufa yeish pluxa beze, k'masha kosa, v'sham, v'shach noach sim, dalet ayin sham, v'aramam, v'gidalf, v'btila, matir lehedya, v'kedusha shava ayin sham, it shows that even that it's mutter to go from one sefer Torah to another sefer Torah is mutter. In other words,
the same level.
You're not going from a printed chumash to a sefer Torah is an ilu. You're going up. Going from a sefer Torah to a klaf to a chumash that's printed is going down. But going from one sefer Torah to another sefer Torah, even though one sefer Torah is old and one is new, that's not called an ilui. That's not called you're going up. You're going from new, from old to new, but it's still the same level. And going from the same level is forbidden. However, the Rama. So then they need it. So they're letting us. That's mutter. So they need that. They're not doing it for money. If they're doing it for money, it's awesome. But if they're doing it because another shul is in desperate need, they don't have a sefer Torah. They have these campaigns. The National Council will make a campaign to give for the Israeli army. IDF base.
They're not giving it. It's a permanent
loan. It's a gift. I don't think permanent. I think they mamash give it. They'll never see it again. They give it away for free. They give it away.
But can you take, if you have, let's say, 10 tussles, say, Salam, can you take pages from each to make a new sefer?
Yes, you can. That you can do, certainly. You want to take a urea from.
You can't sell it to make.
You want to take a urea from each sefer Torah and put together why not? You're not selling it. You're not. Everything is remaining in the shul.
Let's say a guy buys 10 sefer Torah.
About Torah, go crazy.
It's menumer. It might be a shalav in puzzle. Let's go further. You're not allowed to go from one sefer Torah to the next. There are equal levels of kedusha, even though one is old and one is new. That is not called going up. Each one has kedusha sefer Torah. We don't look at its condition. It is forbidden to do so under any condition. What we seem to sing over here. The ikre dinim elu mekomim berachayim sham v'sham nispar b'siyata d'shmai. The bottom line is you don't play around. Shul sefer Torah, you don't play around. You don't just sell them. You don't give them away so quickly. You have to be very careful. What's going to happen to a sefer Torah if you give it away? Next, ois tes zayin. V'yitiru chazal limko sefer Torah. There are exceptions to learn Torah, to pay tuition. Lil my Torah, alisa isha. In ein loy dover acher limkar, if you have no other alternative, it's mutter. Recall shakein lipidion shvuyim oyu lerefuah mecholish shal sakana, it's mutter. V'yesh oishim some disagree. Limkos sefer Torah alidei hachrozes v'alpi hatolas kalipos miyiske ba. You're not allowed to make
lottery
or not allowed to go in and sell like in the market to sell it b'derech b'zoyin. Sefer Torah Shabbat has to be sold in a very bakavadic way. We call lottery. Some say make a lottery or have an auction. Put up a Sefer Torah for auction. It's a bezoyin. Okay, it's not the right thing to go to Sotheby's and to go buy old Sefer Torah that are put up for auction. That on eBay, it's a very big bezoyin. You can go right now on your smartphones. You have to go to eBay. No, eBay. I don't know. eBay doesn't seem so popular anymore. Okay, eBay used to be a big, big thing. eBay, you don't even hear about it anymore, eBay.
Everybody sold
everything. What?
Everyone
sold everything already? You never hear about it anymore. It's like it just fell off the face of the world, eBay. But it used to be, you know, you go on eBay, type in Torah, $5,000, $10,000, to a mom, Sifrei Torah, probably right now, they're available online. It's a bizarre for a Sefer Torah to put up for auction. Aval svarim vada, but a sefer that's not a sefer. A mutter b'shnei advarim, v'chein a lottery or an auction is mutter v'chein hamini pasha. V'zeshen espar delumay Torah lisa isha mutter lumkar lav davka kishu atzmai tzach lezeh lav davka for yourself. I ben benoy. Let's say someone, an orphan, or someone in the community. Hachnas kali yolatu. The adav mitzvah yaitz gedol v'yoshayt tzedaka gedol bezeh. It's a very big mitzvah. The same way you may not sell a sefer, you may not give it up a matana. They can muach b'megila the matana. Have the mechira in shem v'chayim. They gave him the kan also b'mechira b'meila the gam b'matana also. So therefore, you may not just give away a sefer Torah as a gift. It's your prized possession. Last halacha yitzayin the kosher menu yabeisayz b'sefer hagadol b'shem harav Moshe the Rambam b'loshon zeh. The dafka sefer Torah ha'asu likros berabim Aval sifra yechidim marchim la'asoyis mehadam emasha yirtu ad kan l'shan. They're very chiddush. That the only thing in time Yalat Asal Sefer when Sefer Torah is in the shul public Sefer Torah that you have in your home privately that you're not using for Kriyas HaTorah, you're learning for learning, you're allowed to sell. Uperu Shabbeinu HaBeisya said the Zeb Sefer Torah shall yachid lekei sura ela she'enoi roya simin bracha. It may not be technically forbidden to sell a private Sefer Torah that's not being used by a tzibur for Kriyas HaTorah, but still in all, a person will not see any blessing with the money that he comes from selling the Sefer Torah. Uvashal Rabim, but a Sefer Torah that belongs to the tzibur, you want to sell it, this is forbidden. Yesh Isser. V'chein kos of Amurcha b'megillah sham b'shem Ravya, v'al pizeh kos b'enu ha-beseyse b'archaim sham sim yud, shnei deyos b'sefer Torah, shal yachid, I am sham, there are two different opinions, with regard to a private sefer Torah, aval yesh ha-perishu de'achiliku b'en sefer Torah b'en sh'or sfarim, the chilik is yagon, is it forbidden? Or is it only you're not going to see a simin bracha? So some want to say is that a private sefer Torah it's also forbidden. And when it comes to selling other books that are not sefer Torah on klaf, then it's not forbidden. But if you do sell your private sfarim, you're not going to see a simin bracha.
Chinese auction is offering a sefer Torah for a price.
Very interesting question. You're right. You're asking a really tough question. Lakewood once did that. A lot of organizations do that. So you're asking me really tough. He writes over here.
The Cipher donated it to the.
They don't donate it. Rabbi Scherzer once told me, he was a Cipher over here on East 14th Street. He's a wholesaler. Mm-hmm. So he told me every day, this is like many years ago, literally every single day he gets a call from another stock organization asking him if he can give them for free a Megillah. So they can use it for a Chinese auction. So he says, what do you think I am? I'm a multimillionaire. How much money do you think I make on every Megillah I sell? I make on a Megillah, he makes a few dollars on a Megillah.
They give away a Megillah in the shul.
What?
Every Purim, they give away
a Megillah. They give away a Megillah?
Yeah, they
a lottery.
Yeah.
Okay, so the money that is contributed towards the lottery pays for the Megillah plus a lot more. They wouldn't do it otherwise. If everyone is buying a ticket, right? Everyone is buying a ticket, so obviously the money that's coming in is paying for the cost of the Megillah. Whoever is donating or maybe the Megillah has been given as... What? No, he just says, so Shaila over here is, he mentioned over here above, he did a really good question, he mentioned over here above, is that it is for... Look, Tazvav. Ois Tazayin. The Tirich Hazal, Limko Sefer Torah, Lilmai Torah, Elisa Isha, Im Ein, Loi Davar Acher, Limko, Kol Shekein, Lepidin Shuvim, Al Rifu, Mechali, Shalkanas Nefash, V'yesh, Ois Shem, Limko Sefer Torah, Ali Dei, Hachrozois, that means to announcements,
Advertising,
Galpi Hatolas Kalipos. Lottery. Mi Yiskeba Uvilushanenu Karin Lotteria. Why? Because this is a bizoyan. That's Pashbun. So he's asking a very question, why then is it permitted to auction off a Sefer Torah in a Chinese lottery for a different stock organization? Why is that not called a bizoyan?
That's like Wilma Torah.
So fundraising technique. Fundraising technique, but you're using an object which is a davar shebe kedusha. I don't know. It's a really interesting question. How come? No, you see, everyone does it. Puk chazim ma amar dvar.
Even they don't put the Torah out there.
So you want to make that distinction. You want to make that since it's not something specific.
It's just
the concept. We're having a lottery. If it was a lottery, we will then buy the Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
We'll buy. I know my cousin. I have a cousin. He had a din Torah with an organization. He went and he won the din Torah. He won the lottery, and for a Sefer Torah they had an auction for Sefer Torah. And he won the lottery, and they told him you have to buy the Sefer Torah by this meicher, and this meicher's prices were highly inflated.
He won it.
Right, so I don't remember the details. He won, and the understanding was that you're going to get the Sefer Torah from this meicher, from this store. And he complained that this is fraud, because this store, they're getting a nice cut. They're getting a nice cut because their prices are highly inflated. And if you give me whatever money you would have given that store, I can take that money and buy from privately from a sefer in Eretz Yisrael from another place a much, much better, higher quality sefer Torah. And the organization told him, no, this is our arrangement. Our arrangement, and we're not doing it your way, we're doing it our way. He took this organization to a Din Torah, and he won the Din Torah. And the organization gave him cash, and he took the money, and he bought his own Sefer Torah, what he wanted. So I guess you have to be very careful in what the terms and conditions to read, to make it very clear what you want to do. That was that situation. As you know, every story has another story behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to know exactly what the situation is, but you're asking a really tough question. Why isn't it a bizoyon to auction off a Sefer Torah?
Yeah, because it's a picture. They're not putting Sefer Torah up.
You ever hear something, auctioning off a girl? There's this girl, everyone's challenging to marry this girl. So, she goes to the highest bidder. Whoever gives more money to Tztaka, he gets to marry the girl. Okay? Yavir, it's a bazillion. What am I, a piece of meat? What am I, a piece of meat?
You can order.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, you can auction off the girl. A boy, the best boy in Lakewood. Who gets the best boy in Lakewood? Up for auction. Up for auction. Whoever gives.
That's definitely true.
Whoever gives the boy gets the money. The boy gets the money. But you give the money. You give the money to the yeshiva. It's a bezayin. Have some hatsnei leches. Hatsnei leches. So why should a sefer Torah be any different? All right. This concludes the halacha. We'll stop here. Let's stop here. Let's take a break.